Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello. Oh, hello. Well, listen, people. It's Thursday, as always, on 8 p.m. at this time, Eastern Standard Time, on a chilly, and wet night on the East Coast. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host from the East Coast, Jeff the Joker, and I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm also joined by my esteemed founder and maker, Mr. Vic Gardner from the West Coast, and together we are the FSP Crew Show. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. And like I always say, if you want to talk to Vic, Jeff, or me, we got a great show in store for you. Some football, some basketball, some discord with so-called best player in the NBA. And then we got two guys that are scrambling for their professional lives, trying to get back on the field to play. And we also have a game for the bragging rights for the state of Ohio and for the division in the AFC North. So we have a lot of things to talk about. And without further ado, let's get my two co-hosts in here. I'm going to go up with Jeff the Joker and then with Vic. What's up, guys?
Hey, Jerry. How's it going? Hey, Vic.
Shalom. Dynamite.
Oh, boy. You know, Jeff, When I first saw him up on the board, I knew I was in for it tonight. He is feeling extra special tonight. I don't know why. Maybe he just got laid. I have no idea.
Hey, hold on. I'm not going to take over the cruise show, but I am feeling kind of good because this is week 10 of the NFL season. A lot of people are fighting for their fantasy lives. Like Jerry said, two professional players are fighting for their professional lives who can also help a bunch of fantasy players if they're reinstated. But we don't know what's going on there. Then you got the LeBron James, Kobe. It's a lot of good stuff going on, and I'm in a good mood because I have to work this weekend. So JT's going to hold the show down on Saturday. And
you know.
I wanted to get my voice in this week, you know, because a day without FSP is like a day without sunshine. And the West Coast, it's always sunny in California. It never rains in Southern California. That's not what I meant.
I'm telling you, Jeff, I listened to this guy. He must have been getting laid for four consecutive days because he sounded just like this on Monday. And this is I don't know what's gotten. I don't know what's gotten into Mr. Gardner, but it is what it is. Anyway, let's get into the show, guys. I want to hit on basketball first because I find this interesting. Now, I'm talking about supposedly, word is that LeBron and Kyrie Irving, two all-stars, one's a point forward, so to speak, or power forward in LeBron. The other one's a Allen Iverson-type point guard, and I say that because what I'm going to say after I open this up is they supposedly got into words because the fact is, and I quote from LeBron, there's a lot of bad habits. A lot of bad habits been built up the last couple of years. When you play that style of basketball, it takes a lot to get up out of you. Now, there's no doubt who he's been talking about is Kyrie Irving. And because the fact is, before LeBron decided to do his I'm coming home, I'm coming back to home thing, Kyrie Irving was the man. And he got a lot of ball play because he was the best player on the team. Now, he's got the so-called best player in the NBA on the team and a very good complement in Kevin Love. So you got a three-headed attack, and the young boy, Kyrie Irving, says, well, now, I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know, like, this is my team. You just coming to it. Or just like LeBron says, he got a lot of bad habits, and it's going to take a lot to get up out of you. But he let it be known, hey, man, you got to share the ball. It's a growing up process that we go through. That's what Irving said. It sucks right now for us. We are still young, and I'm still learning what's going on. So I'm going to go to Jeff first and talk about this and give me your feelings about Mr. Kyrie Irving having to meld and mold into this team, him being a point guard, with LeBron James and Kevin Love and company. Jeff, I'll give it all to you.
If I could say something to Kyrie Irving, I'd say, child, please, you know, because, you know, it must be difficult because his whole life up till now, he's always been the best player on whatever team he was on from, you know, Pee Wee League up till last year. This isn't just another play. This is LeBron. And you know what? For a star of his magnitude, LeBron's a nice guy. He really is. He does try to get the teammates involved. He's liked by his teammates. You can't say the same thing about the few people of his stature, like Kobe and Jordan. Those guys weren't always nice guys, and they weren't always good teammates. I know it's an adjustment for Kyrie Irving. So what? I mean, this is a chance to get multiple rings. He's young. He's got the rest of his career to hog the ball, you know. And the thing is, when LeBron first went to Miami, they got off to a slow start. And it's not surprising. And believe me, with that talent, pretty soon they'll be winning plenty.
Before I go to Vic, I got to play this.
You play to win the game.
Okay, Vic, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this, and you're right. You play to win the game, Jerry. That's a good soundbite there. I think what Jeff just said is on point. Now, I'm not a big LeBron fan. I still think Kobe's the best player in the NBA until he retires or his skills just totally disappear. But coming to Cleveland, you know, Kyrie had to understand that, yes, you're talking about the face of the NBA right now, LeBron James. Now, LeBron goes from working with somebody that's a true professional in Dwayne Wade to working with someone that's been in the league for a couple of years, a dynamic player, does great commercials, but does he know how to lead a team? And that's the problem. You bring Kevin Love, who's a consummate professional. You know, he just goes to work. He doesn't make any hubbub. He doesn't make commercials. He doesn't do anything like that except perform. So what I'm getting to is this. If you're comparing the Heat of a couple of years ago to the Cavs of current, the difference is Dwayne Wade versus Kyrie Irving. Maturity. Now, I picked Kyrie Irving up in a couple of my FanDuel and DraftKings leagues, which, by the way, if you want to join, just let me know. I'll send you a link. And his point values have gone down. Why? Because he has to learn how to share the ball. Game one, he had, like, I think 40, 50 points fantasy-wise. Translation, like 20, 30-something points in the game. And Jerry was absolutely right. He is a Allen Iverson type of player. Create for himself and dish only if he can't get the score. What he needs to learn, just like in so many words LeBron said, you have some bad habits and you need to change them. Once those habits are changed, that team can win, and they can win convincingly. They don't have a good record, and it's only a couple games into the season.
1-3.
Yes. Yes. 1-3. That can easily be changed, but it's going to take some change within the team. That's all I got, JT.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That sums it up right there, Kyrie. You got to get your act together. You got some solid veterans who have one of them who's got multiple rings and knows what it takes to get to that point to win. And it's going to take it up take another grown up process that you got it in the NBA. It is what it is. So. We'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting, and you know there's going to be a lot of media, more because of the fact is they're up to a 1-3 start. There's supposed to be a little bit of friction between arguably the best player in basketball and this bright young star, Kyrie Irving. And Kevin Love is just sitting on the outside looking like, what the hell did I get myself into? Hopefully, one of the things LeBron did say is, in the words of the great hashtag Aaron Rodgers 12, this is what he tweeted, relax. Relax. That's all I got to say on that. With that, let me go to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the master plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back. The call-in number is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is that number, which is sponsored by the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com website. Right along with the show, it's the same sponsor. So go on that website, bet on tonight's game, bet on some basketball games, bet on anything you like, and make some money. At the bottom line, you can make some money. That being said, let's move on to a subject that has to relate to football. And it has to do with two star running backs in two different situations, but still, like I said earlier when I opened the show up, fighting for their professional football careers. Really, they really are doing this. Ray Rice, who everyone knows was involved in a horrible incident months ago, where he knocked out his wife, and videotape shows he knocked her out in the elevator at Atlantic City Casino, had his appeal hearing heard over the last few days, which ended today, and it's supposed to be a decision coming in, who knows, a week, 2 weeks, could be within days. It's up to the judge. Whenever the judge decides she wants to render a decision, she's going to do that. Ray Rice testified today. Roger Goodell testified yesterday. And also Ozzie Newsom, who testified today. And one of the things Ozzie Newsom had said was that Ray Rice told him and told the organization that he hit his wife. And he also said that Ray Rice told him that he told Roger Goodell the same thing. Now, in my opinion, when you do that, and the NFL does what it did to Ray Rice, in my opinion, it's double jeopardy. Regardless if you agree with the decision of the commissioner or not, he got punished twice, and now that's what he's fighting for, to get back to be eligible to play in the NFL. Now, who knows who's going to take him, but he wants to have the opportunity and the right to be able to get back into the NFL, maybe this season or maybe possibly next season. I know Jeff and Vic know about this quite a lot. So they followed it just like I did. I'm going to go to Victor first and get his ideas on what transpired in the last few days and what he may think is going to transpire whenever the judge makes a decision. And the same thing for Jeff. Talk to me, Victor.
Victor? I'll tell you like this. I'm here.
Okay.
I'll tell you like this. And my cousin mentioned this you know, when this first came out, this is double jeopardy. And I agreed with him. If he was punished for the incident that took place in New Jersey.
Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's New Jersey, man. Come on now.
Okay.
Respect my state.
Okay. Whatever, the trash bucket of the world. But anyway.
You know. Trash bucket. Still looking for my Benjamin.
Ah, you know what? Why you gotta go there? I'll treat you like Ray Rice. Anyway, so bottom line is this: he was treated or penalized 2 games for what happened. Right now, mm-hmm. In regular court cases, if new evidence surfaces, you are then given a retrial, right? Before
okay.
You're automatically disqualified or arrested, whatever, you're given a new trial in light of the new evidence. So, here's what I'm getting to. If he said he struck his wife, and if he told him that, he doesn't say, okay, I struck her with a chair, I struck her with my fist, I struck her with my foot. He said, I struck my wife, and that's how she got knocked out. And that's how, you know, I dragged her out the thing. Yes, I did that. If he did say that, and that's what Roger Goodell's punishment was, the 2-game suspension, even though the video is so egregious, you cannot re-punish me because of video. It's not new evidence. That's the thing. It is not new evidence. If he said, I struck my wife or my girlfriend at the time, that's how she got knocked out, she hit her head mm-hmm. on the banister, and I pulled her out of the elevator. If he said that, he has a case, and he should receive back pay, and be reinstated immediately. Now, the bad part of that is the Ravens already cut him. So he will be able to go wherever he wants to go. And there are a ton of teams out there right now that can use a decent running back. So, yes, I think it's a double jeopardy. I think it's a bad call. If Roger Goodell's ruling does not get overturned by this arbitrator, you know, it's what it is. It's politics. It's politics. And I want to do a special next week on how the Republicans have the House and the Senate. I got to do a special next week, so we need to sit down and talk about that, Jerry. But that's all I got. Go ahead, brother.
Talk to me, Jeff.
You know, I'm still trying to figure this out. And, you know, excuse me, shortly before the show, I heard that Ozzie Newsome, the GM of the Raven, heard Rice's account to the Commissioner Goodell about what happened, that he, you know, he admitted that he, you know, he knocked out his wife. And if that's true, if that's what was told to Goodell, the initial punishment of 2 games was a big mistake. This is the same commissioner who suspended Ben Roethlisberger for 6 games. I think he knocked it down to 4 for an alleged rape, but charges weren't even filed. There, you know, where's the consistency with Goodell? And if it's true that Goodell heard that account, that might be his job. I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money to make big decisions and get them right, and he got this one wrong. But the problem with Ray Rice, he was a very good running back. He had an off season last year, and in football, I mean, he's cut from the Ravens, unfortunately. It's very rare to sign a guy to a new team, especially this late in the season, and have him make an impact. So I don't think – it's unlikely I think he'll do anything this season with the Ravens or with anybody else. But – and I think this is what you're going to be getting to next – AP might be back for the Vikings, and that's he could make a very big impact if he comes back, and I'm sure you're going to get to that next.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Before I do that, now, like I said, Newsom said he heard Ray Rice tell Goodell that he hit his wife. And if that's the case, like you said, Goodell's job is in jeopardy because Goodell said he quoted 4 sources in September who said that Rice had told Goodell he struck Janae. A claim Goodell has denied, saying that Rice's account to him in the June 16th meeting was ambiguous. Now, I want to get this, too, because I find this very strange, and you guys probably haven't thought about this, but I'm thinking about this. When they do these appeals, when they do these hearings in front of an independent arbiter, they have a stenographer taking testimony, taking notes. So you can read back the testimony after the fact. But when they go see the commissioner, when a representative of the player and the player and whoever else go see the commissioner and sit in front of the commissioner and talk to him, there is no note-taking. No one takes notes. It's all, I said this, he said that. I find that, I mean, that makes no sense because now you can't go back and recall what was said because of the fact there are no there's no good documentation of what was said, only from each person that was in attendance in that meeting or appeal or whatever. Or does that make any sense to you guys, or did you guys ever think about that? Talk to me, Victor, and talk to me, Jeff. Victor? Jeff?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't aware of that, but that doesn't make sense. It just a lot of this doesn't make sense. And that's, you know, the buck stops with Goodell. It's easy to blame
right.
him, but, you know, he wants to be the guy. You know, he wants to, you know, be the sheriff. Well, you know what? Then you got to be the guy and then do the right thing and be smart and make the right decisions. And with this thing, you know, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things in life sometimes can be thinking on your feet. He had time to sleep on this. He had time to consult with people, and he still got it wrong, making, what, $10 million a year? And he foobarred that. I mean, come on. A moron could have done better. An absolute imbecile could have done better.
$44 million he got paid last year.
Ridiculous.
Now, well, fellas, I'll say this. Yes, he got it wrong, but that was based upon public opinion. In his words, he's protecting the Shield, you know, and the perception was when Ray Rice got the first two game suspension, okay, they can deal with the backlash of all this, da-da-da-da-da. So we'll give him the two games, and he'll play football, and he'll play well, so they'll forget about everything. Well, all the women's activist groups and spousal abuse groups, we're going to have this. Somehow, some way, according to the TMZ reporter, they just asked for the video and they got it. So when that other video came out, the subsequent video, and Steve Bisciotti is really funny. He said that it's sketchy and shaky, the second video that was released. It was clear as day to me, but whatever. I'm not a billionaire, so I guess I don't have good vision. But that, the actual act of what he did, is causing the reaction of him getting indefinitely suspended. Here's the deal, and I'll give an example. Maybe it's not a good example, but it's a fairly decent example. Michael Vick, what did he go to jail for? It wasn't for killing dogs. He got RICO, trafficking. He was trafficking money. That's what he went to jail for. He didn't go to jail because of the pit bulls fighting. He went to jail because of the money that was made and not, you know, tax and stuff like that. That's why he went to jail. But what do you see and always associate with Michael Vick? Dog fighting. Why? Because it's inhumane. And then PETA and other groups such as PETA, who have strong ties and run parts of the government, I'm not going to lie to you, they have big, big ties in the government. They made statements. They told people how they felt and how they should act. And people love animals. So do you think people would be more sympathetic to the dog that died or the fact that Michael Vick was trafficking money or laundering money up and down the East Coast with the dog fights? They could forgive him easily for the money, because most people, no matter what their color is or their belief is, he was trying to make some money. Got it. He did something wrong. He paid for it. He's done. But the fact that dogs died and were used in a sporting way, that carries more damage and more weight to the NFL than somebody laundering money or trafficking money. That's just my opinion. So the issue of Ray Rice, I believe Roger Goodell knew. I really do. I believe he knew, and he was okay with, okay, look, we'll deal with the heat. I'll give you a few games. Don't do this anymore. Go on with your life. But when the pressure became too big from these activist groups, he caved, and that's what happened. I mean, that's just my hypothesis. So whatever it is that takes place from here on out, we'll find out in a couple of days. But that is my hypothesis. Go ahead, JT.
Okay. Well, like I said, who knows how long it's going to take for the judge to render a decision and basically seal the fate of Ray Rice, whether he gets a shot to play this year or gets even some money back. You know, they're probably been looking for, since he got the indefinite suspension, he's not getting paid. So this has got just not him getting on the field, but he's looking to get some money back because of the fact is he got an indefinite suspension versus a two-game suspension versus a revision of the two-game to six-game for the first-time offender. And now he doesn't even have that because of what's taking place. So there's a lot of twists and turns in this, and that judge is going to have to make a hard decision, and we'll see what happens. Speaking of decisions, Adrian Peterson, as we all know, was accused of in a child abuse case, decided to, in his court appearance this a day or so ago, voided jail time on Tuesday in a plea agreement, which he got $4,000 fine. He's got to perform 80 hours of community service, and he's to be placed on deferred adjudication for two years. Now, his representation is saying, okay, you told us until our legal process was resolved, we couldn't get back into the league. Well, our legal process is resolved, and we're looking to get back into the league right away. The commissioner says that the hold a review, include the submission of relevant information regarding his case, meeting with designated experts who will make recommendations to the commissioner, and an opportunity to have a hearing prior to the issuance of any discipline. And in other words, the NFL has crafted a cumbersome process that will legitimize further delay, and further delay necessarily operates as an extension of Peterson's paid suspension. Even though his paid suspension commenced with the express understanding that it would end once his legal case is resolved. While it's entirely possible that the NFL, which apparently has refused lawyer Rusty Harden's plea for a meeting at which an agreement regarding Peterson's status will be brokered, is buying time for a franchise that remains wobbly in the knees from the harsh local and national reaction to a decision to reinstate Peterson after an initial one-game deactivation. The end result will be that Peterson can't play while the NFL figure out what to do. And according to Matt, according to the reporter from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the Vikings continue to have internal discussions regarding whether running back Adrian Peterson should be allowed to play this season, which means that the Vikings aren't ready to welcome Peterson back. And it looks like the NFL is going to check the airwaves, so to speak, to see which way the air is blowing before they take a shot and get Adrian Peterson activated, and whether the Vikings will take him back or not. And I think the Vikings are leaning on the commissioner to bail him out so they don't have to take the heat. They're looking for the commissioner and the commissioner's office to take the heat if he comes off the commissioner's list. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Adrian Peterson? His legal process is resolved, just like they were told he had to resolve that first before he could come back. And now he's got that resolved, and they're still dragging their feet, even though it's only been a day or two. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, this is real complicated, and the NFL early in the season with Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, they took a beating, and I think the NFL and the Vikings, they really want to try to get this right and make everybody happy, and it looks like Andy Dalton just threw an interception.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, are you finished?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know you was finished. Go ahead, Victor.
And yes, they did get an interception, and it was a terribly thrown ball by Andy Dalton. But terribly thrown ideas out there is that Minnesota really, if you think Adrian Peterson is going back to Minnesota after the way the Wolves treated him, he might do it just to finish out the season, but he's done in Minnesota. And the report that Jerry just read further demonstrates what I feel is a cry for public opinion. As Jerry said, they're going to test the airwaves, so to speak, to see what happens. What does that mean? They're going to be listening, and I'm talking about the Minnesota Vikings organization, along with the commissioner's office. They're going to be listening to the talk shows such as ours and, you know, Sirius XM shows. So I get to hear and local, you know, sports DJs to hear what the fans are thinking. Yes, we need him. No, he's not ready to be in the NFL. He shouldn't be here. He's a child abuser, da-da-da-da-da. You know, and then you're going to have those that will say, well, you know what? Mr. Peterson is a high-profile player, and what does it look like if we let him play again after what he did? I mean, listen, we understand what he is accused of and what he pled to, but he loves his children. There was no real malice in the beating he gave his child. I don't think it was. It was, to me, the lesson that was supposed to be taught, and it, maybe it wasn't the way we would do it, but it was done. And public opinion is creating this entire issue. Again, if my neighbors, when I was little, gave me a beating, they told my mom, and then I got a beating from my mom. And both beatings probably were different. Both beatings were different. One was with a belt, and one was with a plastic bat. Yeah, was it child abuse? Possibly. But I learned my lesson, and I didn't act up again. But too much of public opinion is causing too much trouble for this man and what's going on in the NFL. I think he should get his chance to finish out the season and be repaid or recoup all the money he lost from week one on because of the opinion of this organization and what it, the public was giving. That's all I got on that.
Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, guys. I don't know if you know this. Nike just they were reserving the right. I guess they suspended endorsement having Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson being a spokesman for him. Well, they cut ties with him and over the last couple of days. They cut ties with Adrian Peterson, so he's no longer got tied in with Nike. Also. That Ian Rappaport reports that Adrian Peterson's paid leave is not considered discipline by the NFL and that a suspension looms. So what that means is he doesn't gain credit for time served and pays a fine, thereby making his previous suspension paid. So either way, it could be weeks before the matter is resolved. He may play football again, but who knows when it is and in what form it is. And his suspension could be what he's been not to play for the last few weeks since the first week. I think he even played after the first week he didn't play. So he's been like 6 or 7 weeks, 8 weeks that he hasn't played, but he's gotten paid. His suspension could be. Pay back the money that you got for the eight games that you got paid for because you were on paid leave, basically. And that could be your suspension. You follow me? Now, I'm just saying that that's some of the things that are coming out in the media. Because he's gotten paid, that's not considered a suspension. Even though he didn't play, he got paid for it. The only way he can get penalized and suspended for something if he pays the money back that he got paid over the last several weeks, then that could be a suspension, and he should be reinstated. Not that he's going to be; he can be reinstated back into the league. That's the one avenue that can take. But the NFL is going to drag his feet for as long as they can. Before they decide to render a decision if he can play or not. Let's go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back and talking about some more football. We'll be right back.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com /VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right, all right, all right. We are back. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Victor Gardner and Jeff the Joker, and we are talking right now about football. We were talking about guys that got suspended and trying to get back into the league. Let's talk about the guys that are in the league. And I just saw it today. And I don't know what to say because right off the top of my head, I got three teams that are doing this, and probably you guys can tell me more. It's in fantasy and in reality that this is so frustrating, and it's got to be frustrating to the guys that are involved in it. I'm talking about the teams as in the St. Louis Cardinals, the St. Louis Rams, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Cleveland Browns, who are playing tonight. Now, what do those three teams have in common? I said Jeff and Vic know what they have in common. It's called the RBBC syndrome. Means the running back by committee. You got three running backs in the case of St. Louis. You got Trey Mason, Zach Stacy, and Benny Cunningham. In Cleveland, you got Isaiah Crowell. You got Terrence West, both of them rookies. And the veteran who's supposed to be the lead back is Ben Tate. Then you got in Baltimore, you got Bernard Pierce, who I think is the odd man out, but is still doing a running back by committee. You got a rookie, Lorenzo Talaferro, and then you also have the lead back right now, Justin Forsett. And you never know who's going to be the lead back from week to week because all three of these guys, all three of the head coaches, the offensive coordinators are going by the phrase, the hot hand. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How can this bothers me for this simple rant, and then I'll let you guys talk. This bothers me because the fact is you have and I'll add somebody else into that. I add, and they've been doing this for years, ever since Ron Rivera has been in there, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, and it used to be Mike Tolbert before he got hurt, and now it's Darren Reeves, if I'm not mistaken. What are you thinking about? You take one back and you use them. He'll be the hot hand. You run these backs in and out. Nobody can get a flow. You expect somebody to get a hot hand. They get lucky and get 10 yards in one run, and you use that guy. And what is it? Each series, if the guy doesn't show you he gets 5 or 6 yards a carry, then you pull that guy out, put somebody else in. I mean, as a running back on that team, you got to be frustrated. As a fan of that team, you got to be frustrated. As a fantasy football player, owner of a guy who was on your team like that, you got to be frustrated. It makes no sense to me to have two guys versus three guys, which is absolutely ridiculous, and go with the phrase, which is the common phrase now, that the hot hand. Come on, give me a break. If you want somebody to get a hot hand, have confidence in one back. Use them and let them get into the flow of the game versus pulling backs in and out like they were chess pieces. I'm going to go to Jeff first and then Victor.
Oh, all right. You're preaching to the choir, my friend. And right off the bat, Cleveland tonight, as predicted, they started a game with Terrence West. He got a few carries, was moving the ball, and their running game has suffered since the injury of their all-pro center, Alex Mack, unfortunately. Another part of the problem in Cleveland.
Right.
And then on the goal line, where they've been sometimes bringing in Isaiah Crowell, no, they put in Ben Tate, who gets the touchdown. and I think the coordinator in Cleveland is Kyle Shanahan, and I think that type of thing runs in the family because I think his pops was the godfather of the running back by committee. But with Mike Shanahan, if he had a really great back like in Denver with Terrell Davis or when he had a really great back, he would make him the guy. But frequently, he would share the load. And I'll tell you, another team that was driving me crazy for fantasy running backs was New England, because usually there's a pecking order. And yep. When Stevon Ridley goes out with the injury, then Vereen becomes a starter. Vereen's a very good receiver, not very durable. And then you figure Ridley, the third-string guy, becomes the second-string guy, and they got the rookie James White, who's supposed to be the third guy but wasn't suiting up. And then, boom, they promote the guy, Jonas Gray, from the practice squad and make him the number two guy and start giving him carries. I mean, drive me nuts. I did good waiver money on Brandon Bolden. I mean, Bill Belichick, because of that type of thing and because of not disclosing any information about injury, which is against NFL rules, he, as an NFL coach, will drive a fantasy GM crazy.
Victor, talk to me. Running back by committee, that's a four-letter word in my opinion.
Well, it just might be, but I benefited with that Ben Tate touchdown, even though I will admit I did bench him in a few of my other leagues, but in one of my other pay leagues, I kept him alive just in case of this. And Cleveland just coughed up the ball on a punt return. And Cincinnati now will have the ball at the Cleveland 30. But running back by committee is killing some teams and not utilized enough on others. I'll give an example. San Fran, they're not using Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde at all. I told you guys and I warned everybody out there that listens to the show when we did the NFC West breakdown that San Fran was going to a pass-happy offense. They need to run Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde. Mr. Lattimore just retired from his chronic knee injury. So they're down to two running backs. You know, in Cleveland, Kyle Shanahan, he's running that three-back system. Isaiah Crowell, as Jeff said, is normally the goal line back. For whatever reason, they ran Terrence West, who's apparently the new starter, three straight times. Then they brought in my guy, Ben Tate, for the touchdown run. I don't know what's going to happen. And think about it this way. I'll tell you this. If Mr. Hill has a good game tonight, when Giovanni Bernard comes back, guess what's going to happen then? Running back by committee.
It's already talked about that.
You know, it is what it is. They want to keep fresh legs in? Cool, keep fresh legs in. But it kills the fantasy business. I'll tell you like that, like this. Detroit, I think they like were the first to really start that because I'm looking at a situation right now where I'm starting both Joyce Bell and Reggie Bush because I don't know which one's going to be the hot hand. You know, I just don't know. And both of them can be impactful. For the game.
Before you go any further, just know this, that's going to be a dreaded three-headed monster also because you forgot about Theo Reddick. That's going to be he's very effective in the passing game. So he can be effective in PPR leagues. So that could be another dreaded three-headed monster that they rotate all three of those guys in. And who knows who's going to get the touchdown or who's going to get the most touches from one game to the next. So I hate that. And I understand it to a certain point. They use the excuse that we're trying to preserve the back, not have one back get beat up all the time. But it hurts the offense because the fact is you don't have a guy that the offensive line gets used to and gets a flow with, because once one back gets in there, he's only in there for a handful of carries, maybe two or three carries in one series, and then he's out. And then he put the other one, who may be a specialist on third down, and then he pulled him out and put the third back in because the first one or the second one, they didn't really feel it, that they were doing anything, so they're going to try the third one. And the offensive line and the back have to be in a certain flow in order for the running game to be effective. So when you start moving parts back there, it doesn't make any sense. And these guys get paid millions of dollars if you can – and I'm going on a rant again – if you and I and Jeff can sit in front of a television screen and look and say, what the heck are you doing? Put one guy in there and let him do his thing. Have faith in one guy. And then if the guy needs a breather, bring this guy in. But don't rotate from one series to the next. And really what team is really good for that is if you watch – Carolina teams, when they have D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, and there will be now Darren Reeves healthy, you'll see D'Angelo Williams in for the first one series, and then when Carolina gets the ball back, you'll see Jonathan Stewart for the next series. Then you'll see Darren Reeves for the third series. And then you get near the goal line, you may see who knows. So how can you get into a rhythm? How can you be effective, especially with the offensive line and the running back, when you do things like that? And like I said, these guys get way more money than we're making and to make those decisions. And they feel it's the best thing for the team. We always say that the NFL is a copycat league, and there's a lot of teams that are copying off each other, and it's a detriment, in my opinion, when they do that. Look at the teams that are effective in the running game, and look at the teams that are doing a running back committee, and tell me who's more effective. The teams that have one running back, they stick to him, and if he needs a breather, they bring in somebody. DeMarco Murray, LeSean McCoy, Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell, lead backs. When they need a breather, they'll bring in the backup. They don't fluctuate. And these are the guys that are some of these guys are leading the league in rushing and leading the league in in categories that are helping their team win from week to week. Anybody want to jump in there? Just go right ahead.
Just to play devil's advocate, sometimes the committee will work well if, it does work well from time to time. And sometimes it's based on not just keeping them fresh, but it's also based on having guys do what they're good at. Some teams, like a Reggie Bush, he's a very good receiver, much better receiver than most other running backs. And then some running backs are very good goal line and short yardage guys, and that's very important. And, the past few years I've been watching the New Orleans Saints offense. You know, they have a lot of games on TV. And I got to give that coaching staff credit. They're very good at figuring out what works for certain offensive players. You know, like when Reggie Bush, when he first started with the Saints, he kind of struggled a little adjusting to the NFL, but they were able to figure out how to use him, appropriately. And then many other players, receivers and running backs, they have so many receivers and so many running backs. And this is, I guess, what good coaches do. They figure out how to get the most out of players were, good, sometimes maybe just average, but they get good productivity. They just put them in those situations and call the right plays, and they know how to use them, and sometimes it works.
Victor?
That's the thing. You have to know what your player is good at. That's why a lot of these offensive coordinators in the NFL say there's no three-down back anymore. If you got a three down back, that means he's going to run, he's going to block, and he's going to pass catch really well. And you don't have that many in the NFL. I mean, plain and simple. We can look
That's
at.
I totally disagree with that. For the simple reason, practice makes perfect. You get a guy in there. You get a guy in there. You draft this guy. You have this guy. You draft him for to be a three down back. You don't draft him to be a specialist. That makes no sense. You draft him to be a three down back, and you get a guy in there, and you take him through practice, and coach him up to do what you need to do to be a three down back.
I got
you. These guys don't want to do that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to, Jerry, that you draft them to be that way, but ultimately, you know that they're, once you get them in there in your system for a while, you see what they're capable of, you realize they're not a three-down back. They are your third-down back. Roy Helu is a great third-down back. Roy Helu can be a good starting tailback, but not a great starting tailback. You understand what I'm saying? He's not built for that pounding game that Alfred Morris is. Alfred Morris really can't catch. But under Jay Gruden, he's going to have to learn to be a better catcher. But he can run and he can pass block. But he doesn't stand there for the passing plays because he's no threat to catch the ball. I mean, that's just my thought process on the whole running back by committee thing. If you don't have that one single solitary back that's going to catch and run and pass block, you're going to have to go by committee. Eddie Lacy was doing it all last year, and James Starks could have done a lot of it, but because Eddie Lacy was so good at running the ball and pass protection, he was okay at, you know, it was okay to leave him in there to pass block or catch a screen or two. But you're not going to split Eddie Lacy out to catch the ball. Look what Seattle's doing with Marshawn Lynch now. They're spreading him out to catch slants, to catch, you know, curls. No one thought of doing that to him or with him.
Right.
Like you said, he might slap the shit, but there you go.
And that's my point exactly. You get a guy back in there, and if you pigeonhole him into he can't do one thing, rather than keep giving him reps on and in practice and in games, then he won't get any better. He won't have the opportunity to get any better because you got him pigeonholed in a certain skill set, and that's it. And one of my examples is this, Tiki Barber. And this is probably going to take it a little bit, but Tiki Barber had a fumbling problem, okay, until they coached him up, and he became a more effective back, being able to hold on to the football and run with it. You can't tell. You get guys that get in here, into the league, they get drafted on a team, and they don't know that he can't catch the ball. They don't know that he can't block. You can coach a guy up, but the guy's willing to get coached up. But if you pigeonhole him in a certain skill set, he'll never have that opportunity to get any better. That's all I got to say about that. We got about less than a minute before the show ends. I'm going to go around the horn with Jeff and then Vic, and then we'll close the show out. Jeff.
Wow, this is just, you know, I'll tell you, there's been so much going on in the NFL this past week. You know, on the field, too. Big Ben breaking records. Who would have thought? Mark Sanchez now starting for the Eagles. A lot of exciting stuff in the NFL. And outside of the NFL, Tuesday was election day, and I remember the vote. And man, that place was empty. people got to remember to vote. It's important. But if you don't vote, it's your loss.
Hi, Victor.
Real quick, I want to say I agree with Jeff. A lot of people didn't vote for their districts and stuff like that. And now we're going to see what happens when one group says, you're going to take what I want to give you, I don't care if you're the president or not. You're going to do this or nothing's going to get done. So, shut up, people. The rent's too damn high? Well, it's your damn fault. Deal with it. On a side note, FanDuel, DraftKings, I just won a couple of things, a couple of tournaments, and now I'm in the $3 million hunt. And I'm going to tell you my starting lineup. I don't care if you hear me or not, because if we got to split the money, that's cool. I'm starting Peyton Manning, Shady McCoy, Jamal Charles, Demaryius Thomas, Kelvin Benjamin, and I forgot the other receiver I have, but it's another big starter. Oh, Mohamed Sanu. Also, I've got Daniel Thomas starting and Vernon Davis, and I've got the 49ers defense. That's in DraftKings. Great opportunity for me there. I'm surprised that I beat so many people to get this opportunity, but I did. And Geno Atkins just busted through for his first sack, and that was a hell of a sack there, Geno. But anyway, on FanDuel, pretty much the same lineup, except there's no flex position. All I want you guys to do is go out there, have some fun, make some money, go to Fantasy Sports and Politics, go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play, and make your money today. Also, listen to this show here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. But if you miss it here, we're streaming 24/7, 365 over at spotonradio.webs.com, where you can hear my voice, JT, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, as well as he's my guy, but he's not my right hand like JT is. Lance, NFL exporter. Had to say that because Jerry's a little jealous. But with that being said, listen out for our new commercials. We're going to try to get some more stuff going on. And we are who we are. We are the best damn thing on internet radio going.
All right, with that being said, Victor, you know how to close this show out. You've been what?
You've been listening to...
Yeah. It's Mr. Anker. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics